It's been very interesting. Like, I don't know how you guys are with, like, how you hear the Lord, but I go through times where I don't really hear a whole lot. I still pray. I still do Bible study. I like to worship, but I just don't hear a lot directly the voice of the Lord in my head. And then I'll go through a few months where he's like talking to me all day, every day. And I'm like, Lord, I have other things to do now. But then when I don't hear him and I'm go through seasons where I don't hear him every day, I'm like, all right, Lord, what is the deal? Where are you? So anyway, it's been interesting because the past about, I say, 2-3 months, I've kind of been in the hearing, and it's gotten more intense. So, and at the same time, it's like all of a sudden dream. You get like 4 dreams in one night and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, yeah. So Dad said he'd put me on the schedule to speak, and I was like, okay. Just kind of terrified me a little bit there. And I was like, okay, I got 2 months ahead of time. I can prepare something. But I started seeking the Lord and asking, okay, God, what do you want to say? What do you want me to say? There's a lot of things I could say. I can talk all day. What do you want me to say? And then the next day, I was washing dishes, and the Lord just stopped me, and he was like, I'm going to give you a word for the church. I was like, okay, gone from slightly terrified to deeply terrified. Anyway, I started having, the other night I had this dream, and I was having all these dreams, and then it was actually happened yesterday was when it hit, and then Josh's alarm woke me up. Then a few minutes later, another one of his alarms woke me up. And then a few minutes later, one of the other alarms that restarted again that he thought he had turned off but was on snooze. And it was for his Bible study that he usually goes to Saturday morning. But his Bible study had been canceled, so he had turned off all his alarms. Here's the thing. He turned off all the alarms the night before, but they all went off the next morning 3 times. And usually just one alarm goes off, but 3 alarms went off. And that was at 7:40 a.m. And then when I was trying to go back to sleep, like, the Lord just kept talking to me. And I'm like, okay, all right, I get it, Lord. You want me to get up and hear you and write stuff down. And I'm sorry. I'm tired of it. I'm done ignoring you. I'm sorry I was ignoring you and trying to sleep. So anyway, so I had 2 dreams followed by the word of the Lord, the prophetic word that was coming. And some of this may be kind of similar to what we heard recently. I heard some of this recently when Pastor Thomas and Corrine came. But, you know, he just confirms things over and over again. So he says the same thing. So the second dream was the shortest one. So I'm going to start with that one. And I heard the Lord say very clearly, no more premature or underweight babies. No more premature babies. No more underweight babies born in this house. And I saw a toddler that was like a Michelangelo. And I got a picture. I don't know if Janine has it or not, has the link. I know that system, it has a very slow lag to it, so got to be patient with it. But yeah, they're both pictures the same, so you can use whichever one. The second one is a bigger file, so there it is. So anyway, it's interesting because what I saw, I've never seen this picture before, but in the dream, that part that's really clearly defined there and colored in, that is the part that I saw in the dream, but slightly bigger. That's actually a picture of the Virgin Mary and Jesus that he later turned into a sculpture in Italy, and that was his rough draft for the sculpture. But that's like the baby it was turned to the side like that, and I didn't see its face or its head. I just saw like its arm and torso turned, you know, like, and it was a picture of like a baby that is extremely active, healthy, lively, robust, as opposed to a child that's like thin and starving and, you know, weak and passive. This is a healthy child. And so the Lord, in this upcoming season, he's changing some things about the church. And one of the things is he really wants us to take the time to fully develop ourselves as Christians and to fully develop our ministries before we send them out. that we be healthy and robust and lively and not weak or anemic spiritual children. And that was the first dream. The second dream is called, I am proofing the bread. And, you know, I don't know how the Lord speaks to you, but I think to a lot of people, he speaks to them with pictures from their life. So he spoke to me a lot in pictures from things that part of my everyday life. And one of those is at the coffee shop in the daily grind, proofing bread, waiting for the bread to rise. It takes hours to cook those croissants that we make. They have to thaw, they have to rise, they have to rise to a certain height before you can put them in the oven. Then they've got to cook. They have to cook fully. Then they have to cool. And all this has to happen before you can serve them. And so we always, like half the time, we always have bread rising on these big racks up high above the oven. And this is what I saw. I had a dream about the croissants on a high rack rising. And it was late at night, well after dark, like maybe after 10 o'clock, close to midnight. There was a young man with blonde hair washing dishes and cleaning. The kitchen was almost clean, though. The dishes were almost done. He was almost finished. And this man did not want to stay any longer. He was ready to leave. His work was almost done. He was letting me know that he had to go. And but you had this issue of the bread was still up there rising. It still needed to be baked. It was going to be a long night because of this bread. I told him it was okay, though, because there were two women that were hanging out in the dining room of the restaurant that they were going to come and bake the bread, that they were going to trade places with him. And they weren't really staff. They were old friends that had come to visit. And there were two ladies. I think one had like reddish hair and the other one had like blonde or brown hair. They were laughing. They were visiting. They were visiting each other. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. They hadn't seen us in a long time, but they had come back and to visit. They were laughing. There was a table in the kitchen. It had a single large glass of red wine. There was a golden candle on the table that was scented, and the whole room, the whole kitchen smelled like anointing oil. The candle smelled like anointing oil. It was the same color as anointing oil. And also on the table, they were working on some crochet, dark blue crochet lace that was an angel, like a doily almost, that they were kind of putting together while they laughed and talked. There was one wing left that they were working on still, completing. And I kept an angel. There was an angel on the table that the two ladies were putting together, crocheting. So I really kind of asked the Lord what this dream meant. And the Lord told me that these visiting ladies were angels of visitation that were coming to the church. That they had been to the church before, but it had been a while since the angels of visitation had been here. But the angels of visitation are coming back, and they're bringing laughter, and they have with them the new wine, the cup of wine. It's the cup of the Lord, but it's also a cup of consecration, and it's also a cup of unity because, you know, there were three of us in the kitchen, but only one cup of wine for all of us, and they were fellowshipping and laughing and talking, and this is just who they are. The golden candle that smelled like anointing oil, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's also the intercession, the rising intercession. And the angel that was on the table, the little crochet angel, I really felt like that was just kind of a joke, that the Lord was giving me a clue as to who these people were and what they were doing and what they were working on, because it was just kind of hilarious to see. But whenever I have a dream where there's an angel in it, usually there's some kind of hint or clue in the dream that this is an angel, not a regular person. That was like they'll be wearing armor or they'll have a sword or something like that. But this was their clue. But they're very creative little angels anyway. They're funny. So very clearly I heard the Lord say, I am proofing the bread. And the Lord wants us to know that he, in this season, he is proofing the bread of his people. In this case, we are the bread. The Lord is staying up late, and he is proofing the bread. He says, I will not bake my people prematurely before they have risen, before you have risen, before my son Jesus is risen inside of you. Because he will not serve half-baked bread to the world. And there's also a joke there, like, don't be a half-baked Christian. Don't expect to be in ministry and be half-baked. You know, take the time to develop yourself and finish going through that inner process with the Lord. He says, for I will complete the good work I have started in you. Which I was kind of laughing at this because, you know, when you make homemade bread, you have bread starter that you have to, sometimes you have to get the bread starter from somebody else's loaf and use it to get the yeast working, like sourdough bread. Mm-hmm. He says, Jesus is like the starter in our lives that causes us to rise and become tasty and good, something that can be served, you know? And then proof is also a really important word in Scripture. I didn't do a word study on it for this, but if you look up the word proof in Scripture, usually it refers to gold. There's a lot of scriptures about the Lord trying the gold, proving the gold, proving the treasure that he has in you. So Lord is just, Holy Father is just puntastic. So, but this is kind of a serious word. The scripture that kind of goes with this is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And if anybody wants to read it out loud, they can.
And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And there's some translations that say started instead of began. So my Bible says began as well, but I think maybe NIV says started. I don't know which one it is, but yeah. So that's the scripture to go with that one. And this, the Lord wants us to know that this is very true for us. The key is this. The Lord says, allow my word to work within you and give my word time to work. Patiently wait for the Lord to bring to life his son Jesus, his resurrection power, to fully and thoroughly work all within you and through you. So that's the thing about leaven or yeast, is it doesn't happen instantly. We have quick rise breads and quick rise yeast, but really good bread takes hours, takes a long time. It doesn't happen instantly. And in our lives, us, whenever the Lord's doing something with us, it doesn't happen instantly. It's not automatic. It requires a lot of patience, a lot of waiting. And we have to let the word, just like yeast, go all the way through the bread. The word has to go all the way through us from top to bottom in every part of our lives for it to really be effective. And then as a side word for some people, some of you have been put high on a shelf to wait, like the bread, where the world cannot touch you and the world cannot spoil you. This is your season to rise. If you feel like you've been put on a shelf and you're stuck there and you can't do anything, just know this is your season to rise and just rise. When you rise bread, you moisten the bread, you keep it wet, and you cover it over so it doesn't, so flies and dust and things don't stick to it and get on it. Let yourself soak in the Spirit, get wet, and stay wet. Don't let yourself dry out in the rising season. Don't let yourself harden. Don't get stiff. Stay flexible. Stay soft. Stay in an atmosphere that is dripping with the presence of the Lord. And then do not mix the world's leaven with the Lord's leaven. The world does not have the right yeast. The world cannot have the right buttery taste. The world is just the same old tough old rolls. Yeah. It's like that discount bread Or like bread you get that's like several days old that you can like, it's like a rock, you know, it's just not tasty anymore. It's just nasty. You can get it for 90 cents. Yep. My people are to be soft and fresh, tender-hearted, light, sweet-spirited, and tasty. And the Lord says, I am not afraid to stay up all night with you so that you can come out just right. He will stay up with us all night. Amen. All right. Second part of the dream. There is a shift or changing of the guard in the heavens, in the angelic realms. There was an angel that was cleaning and washing, washing and cleaning here at the church. Does anybody feel like you've recently been washed, gone through the ringer, given up some old nasty stuff that, you know, some change happening, letting go of some things, washing, washing, washing. The Lord says, I have been washing you with my word. I have been cleansing you. I have been removing the old. I've removed the crusty, the stale, the leftover, the unclean remnants of old nights. There's some old and unclean stuff here the Lord just had to get rid of. So we've had angelic assistance with that here in the church. However, that work is almost done. A shift is coming. The bread is being proofed. It is almost time to bake, says the Lord. The angels of visitation are back. They are here now with the sweet wine of consecration, with unity, with laughter, and the light of my presence is here. And the Lord says there's also a celebration and a mothering going on. You can bring up Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6. And mothering is different from cleansing. There's a mothering aspect of the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting in the Old Testament if you study it. And Proverbs chapter 9, 1 through 6 is one of the best places to read about it. Someone who is not Josh this time, could you please read out 1 through 6 loud and clear when you get there?
Wisdom has built her spacious house with seven pillars. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. Come home with me, she urges the simple. To those without good judgment, she says, come, eat my food, and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your foolish ways behind, and begin to live. Learn how to be wise.
Amen. Amen. And those are the same words that Jesus spoke at the great feast when he stood up in Jerusalem before he was taken away to be crucified, as he stood up at the great feast and said, eat and drink. And he talked about the bread and the wine. So the bread and the wine here is a picture of Jesus and also communion. And the angels in the dream had wine while they were proofing the bread. So this is kind of the season that we're at. The Lord wants us to come into the house, eat and drink, be one people, live, learn from the Holy Spirit, spend time with each other, and spend time in the presence of the Lord. Visit with each other and visit with the Lord. And be ready to be staying up late sometimes in the night hours. The Lord says, I will visit you in the night hours in this season. So be ready. Be ready to hear the Lord in the middle of the night, y'all. Yep.
Three alarms.
And when you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, look at the time on your clock. The Lord may be trying to say something to you. Look for the scripture and, you know, don't go back to sleep. Because a lot of times he won't let you go back to sleep. It's vain anyway. All right. The third message, waking up. I was woken up by three different alarms going off. And I think it's really hilarious that they were set by Joshua. The Lord says it is a three-alarm wake-up call for some people here, but really for the church as a whole. It's a three-alarm wake-up call. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are sounding the alarm to wake us up. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So it is time to wake up and get up. The Lord is not going to let us sleep anymore. He wants to put us to work in his fields to hear and to do. James chapter 1, verse 22. We don't have to go there right now, but it is there. Oh, it's up there too. Be doers of the word and not listening only. It's tempting for prophets and intercessors to hear from the Lord and let other peoples do the doing. At the same time, when you have a mission and a project, it's really easy to go out and do, and not stop and listen and wait and figure out how to do things. And sometimes the timing is a key factor. Sometimes there's a certain way. And the Lord wants us to partner together with each other, the hearers and the doers together. Sometimes the Lord does not tell one person everything they need to know. Sometimes the Lord tells somebody a lot of stuff, but they don't have the ability to do the work that needs to be done. And this is the Oxbow Ministries that Mom and Dad have been working on, where you have two together, pulling together, accomplishing things together. And the Lord wants to put together pastors and prophets, shepherds, teachers, evangelists, helpers, hospitality, everybody pulling together in different ways and in teams, not just by themselves. Dreamers getting up and running with the doers. And because it's the full light of day, so we need to work together. The Lord wants us to find your place in the work. Find out what you are supposed to be doing, not what somebody else is supposed to be doing, not what you wish somebody else would do, but what you're supposed to be doing based on what the Lord is telling you. Yes. Sometimes what you're supposed to be doing is encouraging and helping the other people. Yeah. Just show up and help. The Lord is calling you to himself, but what does that sound like? What does it look like? And what does it feel like? Does it feel good when you're doing it? Sometimes when we obey God, it really hurts, though, so you have to, you know. But sometimes you just know in your knower that you're doing the right thing. So, and then also keep in mind that, you know, for a lot of people, maybe they don't have the physical ability to do physical activities. However, sometimes doing the work of the ministry is just reaching out to somebody new in the church and being their friend and having them over to dinner. Or say, hey, let's go out for a shopping day, or let's go fishing, or let's do something. You know? Just a phone call to check on somebody to say how they're doing, or send a text message. You know? That's part of being a family in the church. And that's part of being in fellowship with each other. Part four. Strategic planting. There were no more dreams after this, but the Lord was just talking. So I was writing it down. I've been asking the Lord, what season are we in? What's going on? All that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry, did you say planting?
Planting. Sorry. I was getting a little countrified. Strategic planting. It could be a pun on planning, actually. That didn't occur to me. A word of many puns, many double entendres. The seasons of rest, winter, cleansing, healing, washing, those are almost done. It is time to get up and make a strategic planting. Nothing haphazard, not wasting seed. Make tight rows in the field and use the right seeds. The Lord says in the past, in this church, a lot of stuff was planted and a lot of stuff came up. Most of it was good stuff. But not all of it was me, says the Lord. You had to wait for it to grow up, be harvested, and die off in the winter season to be cleared away to make room for the full planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord this time is going to have less stuff. Don't be dismayed when it looks smaller. Don't be dismayed when the sprouts look different. It is a different seed, a different type of crop, and it's going to have different fruit. The fruit is going to be really, really different. He really emphasized that to me. The Lord says, I have been carefully preparing the soil for this at Wellspring. And for this crop, the land had to rest. So we had 7 years?
Yeah, we had 7 years.
7 years of rest. And sometimes farmers have to do that. They have to rest the fields, let the nutrients grow, go back into the soil, and kind of restart things. It's just part of planting and harvest. And the Lord says that we kind of went through that. The old crop had to come to fullness, and then it had to be cleared off. Don't be dismayed by that. It had to happen to set you up for a new planting and set you up for a new harvest. So some of those things that we felt like were failures weren't necessarily failures. The Lord was just letting the crops, that the stuff that was planted, kind of come to completion, kind of be cleared out of the way so that he could make room for the new thing he wants to do. So don't worry about it.
Amen.
This crop will be more unified. It will not be an overplanted garden where a profusion of different crops choke each other, crowd each other out, and compete with each other.
Amen.
There will be no spirit of competition among you, for I have given you room to spread.
Amen.
This is a spreading crop that needs lots of room to properly grow. And this is something the Lord was talking to me about garden. Mom is probably laughing because when I plant a garden, I know that each seed is supposed to have a certain amount of room for it to spread out in. But what happens is because my garden's not big enough for all the different types of plants I want to put in it, I'm just like, well, there's still all these seeds still in the packet. I'm just going to stick them in the ground in any open spot I can find. So what happens is that my garden grows up in this huge jungle where all the plants are mixed up. There's fruit, there's squash and tomatoes and beans and melons, and everything's growing on top of each other, and you can't walk through it without crushing the vines. You can't pick anything without destroying half the garden. The plants are killing each other off because the vines are growing on top of the tomatoes and killing them. And the Lord showed me that this was kind of like Wellspring at one point, that there was this huge growth spurt. And everybody was competing with each other for ministry resources or for time or for this, that, and the other. And there was a lot of success and a lot of growth and a lot of really good fruit. But there was also some spirit of competition in there. And there were people in the church that did not get the help that they needed. They kind of got crowded out or ignored. You know, there were some people who didn't get their needs met, whereas other people were flourishing. And the Lord really wants, this is going to be different anyway. It's all going to be different this time. For those of you who were not here in those days, you can just ignore that part. Anyway, this new crop needs lots of water. So stay in the refreshing. Don't dry out. You know, when you read parables, Jesus will give several parables that each mean the same thing, like two or three in a row. This is kind of had the bread parable all over again, but in gardening form. Don't dry out. Be a well-watered vine. And that is Ezekiel 19:10, if you want to see any scriptures about that. There's a lot of mentions to Israel being a well-watered vine, or the Lord, the planting of the Lord being like a well-watered vine. You can just look that up in your spare time. This crop also needs plenty of sun, truth, light, transparency with each other. My vineyard needs support structure too. Get the vines up off the ground. There is a higher call and a higher slow-growing fruit. there will be more order. But at first, it's going to look like disorder. So the Lord wants us to know there may be a season where order is being put in, but there may look like disorder at first. Also, the Lord says the order will feel constricting to some, but the purpose is to get you up off the ground, get the fruit off the ground, so the fruit won't rot, so the fruit won't be hidden, so the fruit won't be stolen by bugs or crawling things or the enemy. You know, that's one thing with gardening that we always had to do is we get these amazing beans and tomatoes and squash, but if it's sitting up on the ground under the plant in the mud, it gets eaten by turtles, it gets eaten by worms, by bugs, and then every time it rains, it gets wet under there and it just rots. So you have all this beautiful produce that's just rotting because it's on the bottom, it's not tied up on a trellis, it's not... And with a vineyard, how many of you have ever seen a vineyard where the grapevines are just sprawled in the dirt on the ground? Has anybody ever seen that? No. You build support arms, and you run the vines up off the ground and along arms so that the fruit can hang down without it being dragged in the mud. So whatever the Lord is going to do to reorder us in this coming season, even if it's annoying, just know it's going to keep the fruit clean, pure, off the ground. All right. In the past, the old garden fed many, many people all across the world. I know a lot of you who were here in those days, there was lots of ministries and mission work and people being sent out, and there was a really big harvest from this church across the world. It was a profusion of delicious vegetables, but the Lord says this time it's different. Think of a vineyard. This is going to produce, our church is going to produce a sweet wine to refresh the nations.
Amen.
Instead of feeding the nations this time, we're going to be refreshing the nations. I don't know what that means. Y'all pray about it. The Lord says, encourage the discouraged, revive the dead and the near dead. Bring joy to the mirthless and depressed.
Yes.
This is a different fruit. It is not to be eaten immediately like fresh vegetables. But also this fruit from this new work will not be easily stolen, and it will not be left to rot.
Amen.
All right. Get ready. All right. And just as a disclaimer, it's all typed out. We can email it, or I can give you a printed copy, whatever you like.
Send it.
It's already been sent to the church, so that you guys have it on email. Yeah,
really?
You do.
Okay.
And all with all my spelling mistakes and everything. But yeah, just as a disclaimer, you know, this word, this is what God was speaking to me and how he was speaking to me. But you guys, you know, pray over it, talk about it, think about it, look at it. You know, you may not agree with certain parts of it. They may not be for you, or it just may not be exactly right. So just judge it however you like. Part five. 40-year church or generations church. Just to be sure I have this right. Is it like the church? Is the church going to be 40 years old in 2019? Is that what we're looking at here?
I don't know. It was in the 70s.
So we're already at the 40-year mark.
76, right? Yeah,
so we are at the 40-year mark now.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was 40 years, but then I thought, no, it wasn't 40 years now, it was 79. So, okay. So that part I definitely had wrong. Woo-hoo. I really think we should plan a party, a church homecoming party for our 40th year anniversary. Okay, so yeah, when I was woken up for the three alarms, when I finally got up, it was 7:40 a.m. by the third alarm. And I happened to be writing, when I was writing out my journal, writing this in my journal, I'd happened to hit page 40. I started on page 39. So the Lord really want, this is like important. The number 7 represents complete seasons. 7 is mentioned hundreds of times in scripture. It refers to a complete work or a complete season, like the creation was 7 days. And then the year 40 years represents a generation of man. Just like the ark was on the waters for 40 days, you know, that was to start a new generation. The children were in the wilderness 40 years. So 40 can represent a generation of man. The Lord says, you know, back we had the St. Patrick's Day revival. You've had 40 days of revival and 40 years of planting and harvest. I thought it was 2019. And we've had the church, this church has stood for 40 years of planting and harvest. Okay. The Lord says some of you have wondered if this church was just for one generation, the Jesus movement generation, the first generation that was here, wondered if this church was for you guys. And some of you have wondered when we retire, when we pass on to heaven, is the church going to continue? Will this movement continue? Or was it for us? Should we close the doors or should we go and do something else when we retire? The Lord says, I meant this place for your children's children.
Amen.
The Lord says, I can take it another 40 years. However, the Lord says, the choice is yours. Okay. The choice that he is putting the choice on the table. He's blessed this church for 40 years. He can let us stop now if we want to. Or he can give us another 40 years. Like renew the lease, kind of. Yeah, that's right. Amen. So the Lord says, if you're willing, if you'll go with me, I'll take it another 40 because I meant it from the beginning. I meant it for you, your children, and your children's children.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's on the table. And then the last thing I heard the Lord say is the river is set to rise again. Sing to the river and the river will rise. If you want the river to overflow its banks and into the streets, sing to the river. Ride the river in the song. The Lord rides upon the praises of his people. And then one other cool thing that was kind of a confirmation to this word. So I'm going to give this to Josh to kind of pass around. If you want to start on one side. This is throwback Sunday. If you look on the bottom of the bottle, you'll see something interesting printed there. Yeah, it says Martinsville, Virginia on the bottom of the Coke. Now, Josh had found this bottle. When did you first find it?
All right, so during the fall, I had a little project I was doing outside. There was a set of old concrete stairs that were crumbling, that were under the wooden porch that was put in later. So it had just been a bit of an eyesore since they were just falling apart. So I took a sledgehammer and just took them out. And there was a bunch of dirt and huge rocks up under the concrete. Well, as I'm digging around, lo and behold, there's that old Coke bottle just sitting in there. And, you know, it's an old Coke bottle. It's like, oh, it's pretty cool. I'll maybe clean it up, set it in the windowsill. It's got a nice color to it. And I left it on the back porch for a very long time. And it was yesterday. Liz and I were just on the back porch. I just noticed, like, hey, Liz, check it out. Forgot about this bottle being here. And I just showed it to her. And Liz was like, oh, my gosh, you have no idea how much this means to me right now. This is great. This is awesome. And so, yes, I'll let you further explain it.
Yeah, so the date on the bottle, it's one of the Christmas Cokes that has the 1923 patent, Christmas patent on it. Yep. And that's not when the bottle was made. It was probably made. They started making them in about 19. I looked it up because I antiques are cool. About 1926 to 28, they made them for about 2 or 3 years at Coke bottling companies around. Then they released a reproduction in 89. So it's possible that one's a reproduction and not one of the original Coke bottles, but if it was a reproduction, it would supposed to have a ring on the bottom, which it does not have. So it may be an original. That porch was built in probably the 30s. So there's a really good chance that was just a Coke that somebody building the porch drank and was buried. I did it in Cafiza. It's got mineral deposits on it that have to be removed with like Rust Away or something. But anyway, so the cool thing about that bottle is, I don't know how many people here know that the Linwood House here was built by a family,
Mr. Tuggle,
who owned the Coke bottling plant in Martinsville. So finding that bottle under our porch was like finding a piece of the Linwood House buried in the foundation of our house from 1923.
That house was built in 1920 when he moved here and opened up the Coke. Uh-huh.
That's four generations ago. Next to me, Ranchito, is where it was?
Yes.
That red brick building. Wow. So, yeah, it was just completely wild. The bottle's probably not worth that much money. It may be worth $10 at most, even if it's an original. But it may be worth more because if it is a bottle that is from a little-known or smaller town instead of one of the big plants, yeah, then it has... It could be a rare. It could be worth up to like $200. So anyway, I have not found anywhere on the internet where another person has a Martinsville bottle. There's a whole bunch from different factories in Georgia, but that's the only Martinsville bottle that I know of right now. That it's not online right now anyway. So it could be a rare find. But anyway. Like, the Lord just wanted to remind us. I think the Lord was also telling Josh it was okay that he knew you were going to have that house that was going to be living there. He planted that bottle generations ago for you to find. But the Lord, I just really think, like, the Lord just wants us to know that we are a generations church, that he's going to be going with us through the next 40 years. He's going to be going before us and preparing the way. I just think we need to... Anyway, let's just go ahead and pray. If you feel like... I just think we need to pray for a minute to seal this word. You don't have to... You can get up or come to the front if you want to, or you can stay in your seat. But anyway, Lord, I just pray over this word, Father. And Lord, we just say yes to you. We just say yes to following you wherever you want to take us and whatever you want to do with us in this little church. This little church says yes. Your little garden says yes. Your little loaves of bread say yes. We say yes. And we just pray, Lord, we just welcome the angels of visitation. We just ask them to come and we pray for refreshing, that your new sweet wine would be poured out and the wine of consecration and fellowship would be poured out, Lord. And we just pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to us about who you want us to be. What you want us to do in this time and our as individuals, not just as a church, Lord, we just ask you to speak to us and show us the way that you want to go. We just release the spirit of grace and mercy and refreshing and revival. In Jesus' name, amen.